Track zero. Okay, I'm recording.
Okay, it is now 11:16 on September 13th, 2014, and the KPFA local station board is now in session. This call to order, roll call, and the excusing of absent members. Mr. Secretary.
Okay, well, good morning. Down we go with the roll. Alderson, I'm here. Bernstein? Yes. Bernstein is here. Edwards Tiekert?
Here.
Edwards Tiekert is here. Urkola?
Here.
Urkola is here. Fuentes? Fuentes is not here. Gans? Gans is not here. Goldmacher? Goldmacher is not here. Goen? Goen is not here. Hernandez?
Here.
Hernandez is here. Johnson? Johnson is here. Coburn?
Present.
Coburn is here. Kurzweil? Kurzweil is not here. Landau? Landau is not here. We'll get to that in a sec. Moore?
Here.
Moore is here. Morgan? Morgan is not here. Pritchett? Pritchett is not here. Sanders, we'll get to that in a sec, too. Sawyer? Sawyer is not here. Sterling?
Sterling here.
Sterling? Sterling is here. Town Nichols? Town Nichols is not here. Travis?
Here.
Travis is here. Welsh?
Here.
Welsh is here. Whipperman?
Here.
Whipperman is here. White? White is not here. Wilkinson?
I'm here.
Wilkinson is here. And Mel Sanders we received confirmation from the chair of the FFCF, the Free Fresno Community Foundation, that Rich Withers has been appointed to fill Mel Sanders' seat. Rich Withers is here and welcome, and he is here. So that gives us a quorum of 14.
Janet.
I did not receive a correspondence. Could that be forwarded to the entire LSB?
As soon as I have access to a computer again, I'll do it.
Thank you. And excused absences, may I?
Make a motion.
Okay, so first of all, I just sent out Samsara Morgan had a family medical emergency she had to attend to. Andrea Pritchett, I believe, posted that she would be unable to be here. David Landau is out of town. And, yeah.
Rams has notified us. So that's the only people you're noting this and asking
yes.
for an excused absence of those? Brian?
I move to excuse all absences.
Second.
Okay. Since you didn't really do a motion but notified who it was, that's the motion in order. And on discussion, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Welcome, Rich. And now we have the agenda. Everybody has the agenda in front of them. Do I have a motion to accept the agenda?
Yes.
And a second. On discussion. Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Minutes, Craig.
I don't have minutes. Oh, sure. I don't have minutes. I will have them for you at the next meeting. These are the minutes of the August meeting.
Please note that Lewis Sawyer has arrived. Okay, announcements. Janet. Janet.
I have announcements.
Okay.
Yes, on Saturday, next Saturday, September 20th, from 4 to 8 p.m., there is going to be the third convergence of Occupy SF and other occupies at Chelsea Manning Plaza, Justin Herman Plaza, in San Francisco. Come one, come all, from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m.
Okay. Paula? Turn on the mic.
Right, on October 22nd is this Stop Mass Incarceration movement. They're actually dedicating all of October to, and so they have various speakers, including somebody up at International House, I forgot who it was. We have several task force up in Santa Rosa still dealing with the killing of Andy Lopez. October 22nd was also the day he was killed. Sheriff Gelhaus is out on the streets patrolling, and we're very, very angry up there. Then the Urban Shield that we just had last Friday, although it was only several hundred people, it was very inspiring because the Palestinian Gaza people joined in with a march that I was in that came from East Oakland, and a whole bunch of different groups were converging and uniting, and they did stop the Urban Shield from being in Oakland again, and so that was very inspiring. A bunch of our Peace and Justice Center people from Santa Rosa were there also.
Barbara?
Passed out, or on the table, there's some postcards here reminding people about the event that's happening in New York on September 21st and also in Oakland. And I belong to a group called the Committees of Correspondence for Democracy and Socialism, which some of you know I do. Mm-hmm. And they prepared for this event a brochure of the organization's statement about climate. They're saying change the system, not the climate. And it's a lot of words, but there's some charts, and I love the illustration on the front. And I will pass these around. You don't need to take one if you don't want it, but please feel free to. And then if there are any left over, they can sit on the table out there. And these are for the audience as well.
Barbara's pro number and pro picture. Okay, any other announcements? Margie, did you have an announcement?
Yeah, this year is the 50th anniversary of the free speech movement at UC Berkeley. And I am proud to say that I was one of the 800 people who were arrested in that event. And so 2 weeks from now, starting on Friday, September 26th, there's gonna be a series of events that are happening, some sponsored by the university, which I find extremely ironic because the chancellor, Chancellor Dirks at UC Berkeley, just put out a statement about free speech, in which his main point was that in order to have free speech, we all must be civil, and civility is the point, and that's he totally missed the point of the FSM if he thought civility was the point. The free speech movement archives are sponsoring a bunch of events. There's going to be all day on Saturday and sometime on Sunday. There are going to be panel discussions, workshops, chances to meet old gray-haired people like me who were active in 1964, and I urge people to go online. If you have trouble finding it, just send me an email and I'll tell you the right links. I forgot to write them down before I came this morning. But a lot of really interesting things are happening both that weekend and in the weeks that follow. And I want to encourage people to think about the issue of free speech and what it means to us today and how the lessons of the FSM are still quite relevant. Thank you.
Cynthia.
Yes, those days, a couple of them that really stand out. Saturday at Ashkenaz, the 27th, they have a whole bunch of folks, and Country Joe, Barbara Dane, in the evening. And on Monday, Bettina Aptaker is going to be at the Civic Center Historical Place and talking a reception. But that'll all be on KPFA, thankfully. And also, to build on the Occupy thing, our fellow member here, Dave Welsh, will be doing a lot of music at the Occupy conversions on the 20th, right? So it's worth it alone just to hear Dave. And something else I was going to say, but I think it's gone out of my head right now. That's it.
Thank you. No more announcements. Public comments. I don't have the board. Daniel, did people sign up? Thank you so much. Kathy Horsley.
Hi, my name is Kathy Horsley.
Kathy Horsley, I'm a member of KPFA's Outreach Committee, and I want to do a little in-reach to you all. Two things. One, just I'm hoping this poster for one of our KPFA community presentations is familiar to you, and you have October 2nd on your calendars, among many other fabulous events that we're hosting. Roxanne Dunbar-Ortiz is an amazing scholar of American studies and specifically indigenous history. And Beacon Press is just putting out her amazing piece called An Indigenous History of the U.S. Roxanne was a contemporary of Howard Zinn. Howard Zinn actually charged her to write this history. So keep it high on your agenda. Secondly, Perrine Kelly and I had an outreach table at a hip-hop event about 3 weekends ago in West Oakland. And it was a slice of culture that was new to me, and it was pretty exciting to me. As we enter our third Occupy and definitely our third civil rights movement, if not later civil rights movement, as more and more of our young African American men are killed in the streets, KPFA really has to give voice to young people. And this group, Hip Hop for Change, that sponsored the event we went to, is all about education, about addressing social justice issues. And I spoke briefly with the CEO and said, you know, there's surely more that KPFA can be doing with you, giving you a voice. I think they do already have a program on KBOO radio, which I'm not familiar with. But in lieu of a program director and program counsel, I'm just bringing it to you to raise your awareness about the need to give voice to young people. Thank you.
Thank you. Vilma Ortiz. What?
Good morning, everyone. I just have a few things that I'd like to mention. First, I want to thank everyone for being here and giving Saturdays, and I don't know if everyone's always appreciative of all the time and effort it takes to be part of the LSB and all the commitment. And I want to just acknowledge that because it's fantastic to see people who come through all the time for the station. So I am Vilma Ortiz. My radio name is Vilma V, and I'm with the Apprentice Program. And I just wanted to remind folks that in December, this board passed a resolution supporting the Apprentice Program. And I hope that support of the Apprentice Program would bring with it resources. Our program currently has a half-time paid position supporting it. And that person supervises close to 15 people. We have 5 people in my group. I'm part of group 39. And then there's the new group, the historic, what we call the historic group 40. And there are 9 of those people who are learning radio skills, who I think bring tremendous energy and enthusiasm to the station, who people who are excited about radio and haven't really linked up with any faction or just really care about the station. And I think it's tremendous energy that can be tapped into. But unfortunately, in order to do that, we need to resource it. We need to give the funds that it needs to thrive. So I just wanted to mention that we also put on this parking lot sale, which we got a lot of community come out and buy books and meet and mingle, and we had live performances there. So that's an annual event that The Apprentice puts on. And we were at the Richmond Health Fair. We helped put on Block the Boat, and all these things happen with The Apprentices supporting that. And there's tremendous energy, like I said. And these apprentices want to work in all kinds of different shows, and it would be great if we could integrate them more into the station. And I know a lot of people are willing and interested in doing that. And then finally, I just want to invite people. So I hope that I see the board, the budget is on the agenda. I don't know if the apprentice program has already been allocated or if there's any leeway for anything to be changed, but I hope that people and you all think about the resources that are needed to run a fully strong apprentice program. And we also are very interested in learning live streaming. There's so much interest in live streaming. There's so many people who would love to just be able to hook up on the KPFA channel and see what's going on and see the different events. There was a recent event on tasers in the city of Berkeley. That would have been fantastic to live stream. And the list could go on and on about all the things that we could live stream. And finally, I just want to invite everyone to the World Music Festival that KPFA is sponsoring. A lot of the apprentices are going to be the MCs for that. And that's another way that the apprentices are out in the community and supporting KPFA. And people talk about bringing youth to the station. There's so much energy at the apprentice program and lots of energy to go to high schools and to go to elementary schools and bring KPFA out there. We just need the support for that. So I know my time is almost up. Thank you again for being here and all the work that you do.
Thank you.
And next we have Daniel Bergstrom. And as you heard, there was a beeper. Brian is doing the time if you want to check and see how you're doing. If you space out, the beeper will give it to you.
Is this 3 minutes?
3 minutes.
Yes, my name is Daniel Borgstrom, and I suppose everybody's aware that this last month we had the Block the Boat event, a one-day protest which became a four-day blockade. If you read the corporate media, you know that the ship got totally unloaded and sent back to, before it left the port. If you've looked around at a lot of evidence at various places, you found that only a small amount of the stuff that was destined for Oakland wound up here. The rest got sent on to Asia. It was a victory, in short. Now, KPFA that morning had a 2 or 2.5 hour special. I want to thank the general manager for that. I want to thank the people who did it. And I want to thank Frank Sterling, who wrote a very moving letter in support of that. Now, unfortunately, someone wrote a note, not a good career move. And what can I say to that? Well, probably true. Probably very true. We were all just hearing about a Palestinian at some university. He got a post there as a professor. He spoke out against Israel, spoke out against Zionism, and he lost his post. Why? Because he made not a good career move. So I think what I'd like to see of KPFA is KPFA doing stuff, which is not good career moves. I really want to thank Frank for being willing to stick your neck out and make not a great, a good career move. Again, I do want to see KPFA make many, many not good career moves, stand up for what is right. One thing I did want to mention, there are people who do make good career moves in the Senate, 100% of them, they made very good career moves. Many of them are probably no more Zionists than we are, but they made good career moves, and that I think is despicable. But again, I'd like to see KPFA people like Frank making more bad career moves.
Virginia.
I sort of hate doing this, but I end up feeling like I want to after I hear other people. I appreciated what you said, Margie, about the free speech movement. And I appreciated, I was listening to about the hip hop conference, which I had wanted to go to and I just couldn't go then. So I'm really, thank you for bringing that up, and I wish I could have made it. KPFA does a huge amount of great stuff and great radio, but I have worked with groups that feel that it could be more of an activist media, and I think that's really important in the world of today. I think some of the people who are behind the real powers at KPFA agree with me in a general sense, but I believe that there's a kind of narrow group that is not necessarily democratic in the way that I would like. It's not so inclusive. And so some things are cut out. And now, you know, maybe the stuff has hit the fan. Pacifica's so out of money. Things are changing. The world is in such hard shape. I don't know what things are going to be like. I'm still hoping we could have even a town hall meeting, a discussion that is inclusive of many voices, not just a few well-spoken people who are very good at public relations and very convincing. And I admire your skills very much on the radio. But I really think that it's important to take seriously people that don't feel so empowered and don't necessarily have such a studied voice.
Lara Kiswani. Donald Goldmacher has arrived.
Hi, everyone. Again, my name is Lara Kiswani. I'm with AROC, the Arab Resource and Organizing Center. We were one of the organizations that organized the Block the Boat that was mentioned as well. I'm here to thank you all for your ongoing support, to also mention that the Block the Boat action and the role that KPFA played was quite instrumental, and to say that you know, we are here as a community to hold you guys accountable to the movement and to the community, as we also know that you guys want us to, because I know the history of KPFA is a movement station, it's the people's radio, and you know, I even ran for this board at some point, so I know the work that it takes to be in this room and how much energy you all put into helping the community in terms of broadcasting news that's relevant and really lifting up the voices of those most impacted. Over the course of many years, KPFA's covered a lot of work on Palestine, and that's been pretty consistent, and that's something our community pays close attention to and appreciates. But the role that KPFA plays in movements is a little different, right? So we can talk about Palestine and we can, you know, raise awareness about what's happening back home, but if we don't support local organizing and the work it takes to challenge those systems of oppression, then it becomes less relevant. And that's why you covering the Block the Boat, the live stream, and also the ongoing, you know, having the organizers on the radio was really, really instrumental. It not only helped us in getting our word out, it also empowered our young people. Our young folks were on the station speaking. It was almost like a leadership development tool in of itself. It mobilized people. We were able to get a lot more folks to subscribe to the text alert system. We got a lot more RSVPs on our Facebook. You know, we do the work on the ground to organize our community and mobilize people, and it's work that KPFA does that helps lift that up. And it's very something that we pay close attention to, we appreciate. And we, you know, we're in struggle with you. I know it took some work to make that happen, and there was some conversation online that created a little bit of a stir, but I'm here to remind you all that's part of the work too. We are in struggle together. We're here to hold each other accountable. That's part of the work that we all want to contribute to in terms of long-term movement building. So thank you for that. Thank you for the work you do. Thanks for supporting Block the Boat, and more importantly, thanks for supporting the movement for Palestine more broadly.
Mohammed Sheikh.
Hi, everyone. My name is Mohammed Sheikh. I'm with Critical Resistance. I'm the Media and Communications Director. And I just wanted to echo some of the the things that Lara had mentioned. Critical Resistance was also one of the organizations that endorsed and helped organize the Block the Boat action. And I was specifically one of the people that was responsible for media to get the word out about the event, to, you know, put our narrative out there, to spread the word. And so I just really wanted to thank KPFA for the role that it played and how supportive it was both before and during the Block the Boat action. When we had the August 16th date that was set, there was supposed to be the live stream out at the port that Frank had, you know, done so much to set up. So that was something that we were really grateful for. And we got the early victory, so things had to be changed really quickly. And us coming to the studio to fill up, you know, like 2.5 hours, it was so well organized and it worked so perfectly. It was so seamless. And it was specifically because of the work that the KPFA staff and members had, you know, the work that they had put in. So Frank, Vilma was there, and she was really instrumental in, you know, facilitating and making it a smooth event. Like Lara said, we were able to bring people out. We were able to have our youth be on. They were super excited to be on there. It was some of the first times that some of them had been on the air, speaking on the radio, and so we want to just reiterate our longstanding connection, and we want that to continue. So moving forward, regardless of what the specific type of work that it is that we're doing, whether it be Palestine, whether it be Critical Resistance, doing work around prison industrial complex, KPFA is just such an important asset to our community. And given how problematic a lot of mainstream media, how hard it is for us to, you know, get our real narrative out there, how hard it is for people to actually hear from those who are doing the work on the ground, it's crucial for us to have a community radio station like KPFA. And so we want to thank you. We want to just reiterate how grateful we are that you all took the time to be able to, you know, give us a voice, a really important voice. So thank you.
Great, thank you all. And that concludes our list of public comment people. Janet?
Oh, I turned it off, sorry, I couldn't turn it back a little bit.
So I have a motion relative to the live streaming comment, and I'd like to make a motion now?
I think that's would be new business. So why don't you put it into new business?
Okay.
We have the general manager's report as the next point on the agenda. And what?
Can I say a little something? One
second. On what? You want, if you're going to use them, you've got to speak, you've got to use a mic. And so you're passing around a letter that would have been public comments had they been here? All right, so you're passing that around.
Yes,
okay.
I'll just read it. And it's
you're going to read it?
No, I'll just pass it around. You guys can read it yourself.
Okay.
And it's just about another connection to the media and how it worked. Actually, it's Q, a letter to Q has read it. And it was from the media person for Block the Boat that actually put some real numbers down in the paper how we really had an effect.
Great.
Through their thing. All right, thank you. Can you just take a look at it? It's right here. I'll pass it around.
Perfect. Thank you. Quincy, do you want this base or do you just want the whole thing? Okay.
Thank you. Yeah. Morning. I'm going to start off talking about the fall fund drive that's coming up. The new fall fund drive, in an effort to breathe new life into the next fund drive, we're implementing a three-stage campaign under the umbrella of Help Us Refresh KPFA. The Refresh campaign is designed with a multi-targeted approach. intended to appeal to our consistent donors and inconsistent donors who have fallen off the support rolls by re-engaging their funding support, by confiding that the tools of our trade, the tangible items that we need to continue our mission, microphones, computers, hardware, software, studio, et cetera, and especially our website, are in desperate need of upgrading. These are tangible items that our listeners can relate to and thus will be more inclined to support because they understand how essential the upgrade of these tools are to our trade in order for us to continue to provide an alternative media voice. This angle also gives our programmer something new and substantive to talk to pitch, other than just premiums after premium. Under the Refresh umbrella, KPFA will have a unified campaign message to a wider community that's for time to hit the refresh button, for us to hit the refresh button, and modernize the tools in order to refresh the delivery of revolutionary radio. I've zeroed in on the website for many reasons. We can immediately begin construction on it, and listeners can be able to peek behind the covers to see improvements in the months ahead. A new versatile website and visually compelling website will light the way for our digital future. It will offer us the ability to interact with listeners in new ways, with creation of more programming, easier access to our archives, and a dynamic meeting ground for community participation and social networking. Equally important, an interactive website will allow us to perform more off-air fundraising campaigns, which leads to less on-air pledge drives. Phase one, a KPFA outreach letter has been sent to our consistent supporters in our database informing them of the Refresh campaign and our goals. We're asking them to donate online now, and their pledges will be directed to our general operating fund to help upgrade our website and stabilize our financial situation. Phase two, the second stage of the campaign begins tomorrow, 2 weeks before the big on-air push on Monday, the 29th. We begin a series of promos, live and recorded, urging our listeners to donate online. The more online donations we receive, the shorter the upcoming fund drive will be, and the sooner we can begin construction on the new website. All donations over $100 will receive a KPFA grocery bag and a jump drive with 100 speeches from our speaker series. The Refresh Call-Out Squad. We will be using phone volunteers this drive, and they will be calling out. We will be scheduling organized solicitation calls to inconsistent donors who have fallen off the support rolls. We're going to use the human touch here, where it works best, to help motivate former donors to rejoin our mission and again to open their hearts and pocketbooks for us. These calls will also provide another opportunity to gather feedback from listeners. Phase three, the on-air fund drive begins. For this drive, we want to offer fewer premiums but carefully consider packages. KPFA's goal is $680,000. Yes, it's ambitious, yet with an early start and additional selling points of the Refresh campaign, refreshing our website offers our listeners and our talented on-air staff tangible items that they can relate to and hopefully support. So that's the end of the fund drive part. I want to talk to you about the website a little bit more, and I have brought the website proposal that I promised that I would have for this meeting. And I'll just give you a quick little overview about the website proposal. This is an important project to refresh and reinvigorate the brand and online presence of KPFA with a robust, smart, and exciting visual identity and website that can serve as a strong foundation for the future for this vital community radio station. The rebranding of KPFA, as well as a consistent style guide that works together to tell the station's story and succinctly communicate its key messages to target audiences, are a primary goal of this project. This visual identity will guide the development and organizational collateral, as well as the look and feel of a brand new website. In addition to providing 24-hour streaming audio and video and general information about KPFA, the site will also be built to encompass an expanding and dynamic set of individual show pages that each will have unique multimedia content and automatically updated episode archives. It will also serve as a powerful fundraising platform and secure automated online donation system that will open up new fundraising possibilities beyond the stand-up usual on-air campaigns. It will be built with a user-friendly WordPress CMS and will be fully integrated with KPFA's social media accounts. The site will also have mobile responsive for seamless viewing on smartphones and tablets. But that's all in here in the proposal, and I can pass this around to everybody, and you guys can take a look for yourselves on that. Last but not least, unfortunately, we do not have a complete budget for the meeting. We have had some significant problems in tweaking it, trying to get it done, but we think we'll have it probably done this week, and we do have a plan for that that I'd like to read out to you guys. On Monday, Barbara, myself, and Maria will get together and review the last little changes that we'd like to make on it, and then email the budget to the LSB on Tuesday, then email the budget to the NFC on Tuesday also for discussion and input. And Maria will have three meetings for the LSB members set up so that you can come by and discuss things Thursday afternoon, Thursday evening, and even next Saturday if we have to go that far with it. And we can present the final budget to the LSB at a next meeting, but maybe it could be set up through the Finance Committee or something like that so we can make it move a little faster. And that's all I have on that. Question?
I need a microphone. Just give me the mic.
Why don't we put two mics on your table?
Well, that will constrain the people out there, so we'll be all right. Does that concluded your report? Is that right? Quincy? Okay. All right. So what we're going to do is what we do in the past is we're going to take a few questions at once. We'll take three questions and then an answer and three questions so that it just doesn't get into back and forth. Janet, I see. David. Okay. Janet, go ahead.
First, I'd just like to say that regardless of what was planned for the budget, that the LSB still has to approve it. So there has to be some noticing, et cetera, for that. So I have two questions. One has to do with the fund drives. Some of the shows, the programs at times are preempted. And I wanted to know what the process is for deciding that and notifying programmers. That's one question. The second has to do with staff meetings, and I wanted to know if you have held any staff meetings and what your schedule will be for holding staff meetings.
David.
I couldn't hear what Janet just said. I may be saying the same thing she said. I'm not sure. But I couldn't hear a word of it. I don't know whether the mic is boomy or what. But my question has to do with when the LSB is going to be able to consider the budget. Now, I understand you said at our next meeting.
Well, we will have a meeting next month.
Right. Now, is it correct that the budget is for the fiscal year, so it starts October 1st, right?
That's correct.
So it seems like the LSB should be able to consider this prior to October.
Yes, the 1st. It should be able to, but it's not.
Yeah, but what I'm suggesting is that maybe if we had a special meeting to discuss just this, just the budget, prior to October the 1st.
All right, why don't we, I don't think that's a question for Quincy. I think that's a question for us.
There was a statement made about Maria being in. The business manager has offered to be available on Thursday if people can come in during the day, in the afternoon and the evening.
Correct.
Isn't that correct?
Saturday.
And then she's suggesting a special meeting Saturday if necessary.
Okay, wait a minute. Are we getting... wait a minute. On procedure. okay on procedure.
I think the question of how the LSB is going to deal with a budget approval should be placed on new business.
That's right.
No. Okay.
All right. I mean. Right.
Oh,
right. So wait a minute. Wait a minute, Margie.
Okay, that's fine.
We're in the middle of Quincy's thing. So I'm going back to that.
Right.
Do you have an objection to that?
No.
Okay.
That's
fine.
I didn't look at. I wish I had looked at my agenda. I apologize.
Okay. All right. So Frank, do you have a microphone? Is this for Quincy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Follow up for the manager's report. I'm curious about the new website. There's a lot of hopes in some parts of KPFA. I think a lot of KPFA is hoping about video streaming and on the new website. I understand that it sounds great. We all want a new website. We're hoping that it'll include a video streaming aspect, which there was some issues with in the past, but it seems to be working. And so I'm curious, one, if we'll have better video streaming capabilities. And I don't know if I laid out my vision, but one part of it is every show that wants a video stream channel, we could have a bank of video channels like on one side or wherever it's at on the webpage. And then when you go there, there could be video channels for every show that actually wants one, maybe even a live webcam somewhere in the studio if people are into that or not. And then I think another thing, so that's it for the video streaming part, and I think a lot of people are hoping for that. Of course, the budget, special budget meeting, that'll wait. And phone room, I think I've asked a few people, phone room regulars on the street the other day, and people are curious if the phone room's happening on this fund drive. Rumors are put around that it's happening on this fund drive, but it's not happening on the December fund drive. I don't know where it's coming from, but that's just what I'm hearing walking down the street in Berkeley. So I'm curious about the phone room, if the phone room's happening. And if it is happening, I think we should put the word out, you know, welcome back, get them in right away, because I know that a lot of people are really wanting to be back. And then lastly, just a second, what Janet said about staff meetings. We're hoping that there'll be regular staff meetings. You know, there's a whole group of people that aren't there during the day that don't have like as easy as access. So it's been an issue in the past to plan staff meeting, regular staff meetings, and also report to the listeners, you know, is a good thing that happened in the past where you can get on there and explain, you know, this killer vision that we're having for the refresh. I think everybody thinks this is a great idea. So we're all looking forward to that. And staff meetings, phone room, budget, and the video streaming. All right, thank you.
I guess some of these questions kind of overlap. As far as the staff meeting thing goes, I've been answering emails about that probably ever since the day I got here. And I must say that I've been kind of overwhelmed with a lot of day-to-day business there. I haven't even been able to wear my program director's hat much because it's so much dollars and cents stuff that I've been dealing with. And I have held off on having staff meetings until some of this stuff is kind of cleared up, like the budget and the new fundraising campaign and the website. I mean, the website proposal. Once the website proposal, if it is accepted and we can move on, that would be a time that I would like to have a staff meeting and go over all of this stuff. Also in the proposal, Frank, you'll notice that the people who put it together, their plan is to come in and they practically move into the radio station with us. And everybody will have a chance to come in and talk about anything that they want for the radio, for the website as well. This is just a preliminary promo, a proposal package put together to outline some of the definite things that we need to be working on to move forward. They've had good talks with Yoshida and the engineering team already because we couldn't put that together without that. So of course, video streaming and things like that were talked about, and ways to improve it to make it look substantially better. So we are taking action on that. And then that would be something that I would love to have on an agenda at a staff meeting where I could really talk about all that kind of stuff. The fund drive stuff, the refresh campaign, I've been basically kind of talking to people individually around the radio station, as many shows people as I can. I've reached out to people in emails, kind of trying to explain the refresh idea. And most of those ideas, the refresh ideas, kind of came from people at the radio station. People that talked to outreach people that I've talked to, people that I've been on the phones, even the, what did they call it, Goldbusters? Even their information was valuable. What I found was that a lot of donors that have turned their backs on us and stuff, they think that they're not actually giving money to KPFA. thus the reason for the tangible items that I want to stress in the fund drive, because those are the things that they always talk about. Well, I don't mind giving money for this, or I don't mind giving money for that, but I don't want to give money for a lawsuit. So if we can all just talk about the tangible items and focus in on those are the things that I think will help people come back and pay attention to what we're talking about. And the Refresh campaign overall, the umbrella of it is the idea to get the entire radio station talking about one thing, which doesn't happen because there's so many shows that are in silos and people working by themselves, and there's not a lot of cross promotion and all those kind of things that I really want to break down. Because we eventually, for us to be really strong, everybody has to be promoting everybody else and our mission at the same time. Everybody's got to be on the same team. So these are just small ways of trying to indoctrinate everybody a little bit at a time with something that they can hold on to and feel proud about, I think. And that's what I'm trying to do with the Refresh campaign. To answer your question about preemptions and stuff, it's kind of new to me, preemptions, things like that, I must say. But from what I understand and what I've been seeing about preemptions, I've tried to get people notified very early about preemptions if they're going to happen on some shows. And basically, the bottom line is on most preemptions, some people just bow out because they don't want to do the sale. They don't want to be pitching for us. So a lot of them just say, hey, look, I don't want to do that, so I'm not going to be available in these time slots. So that pops up. So then we have to run around and get special programming for that. And so that's what happens. And then sometimes there's shows that just don't generate enough money in crucial time periods. Like the 11 o'clock hour with the music of the world stuff. They don't generate a lot of funds. So sometimes we'll put in a special show in there early in the drive when we're really cooking. And then later on, we can go back to some of that regular programming. But nothing's done in any kind of discriminatory way. It's just all about really trying to do the best thing for the fund drive. The phone room, let me go back to that, Frank. We just didn't have enough time to try to revamp the whole fun room process. I mean, there's been a lot of talk, a lot of meetings in my office trying to figure out a way to get the volunteers back in. And we're really interested in having a hybrid kind of system. The callback squad, the thing that we came up with for the outreach people and other people who want to volunteer to get on the phone and call people that have fallen off the rolls, I think is an important way for us to use people. And I think it's something that's so consistent that we should be able to use it again if it's successful. And I really believe it's going to be. You know, us reaching out, tapping people on the shoulder. Yeah, we know you used to be a listener. What was the problem? Why did you turn away? That's what the script is like, actually. We have this terrific script we really worked out where we're asking them questions right up in front. Well, how come you stopped donating? Well, do you still listen? If so, who do you listen to? Or why don't you listen anymore? And we're trying to really reach in and talk to people. Even if they don't give us money, that information that we get back is vital. So, you know, it's a good process in that way. So that way, I thought, at least we can have some volunteer action going. So we're going to have volunteers starting tomorrow, working 2-hour shifts all the way through the fund drive, hopefully. Right now, they're just scheduled to work right up to the fund drive. But if it's successful, we can keep going. So I figured that will be a good way to do it until we have time, money to turn everything else around to bring the phone room back in and make it really active. Right now, we just don't have the dough. We don't have the time to do it and the constraints that we have. We got to put another fund drive on to keep the doors open. I always say that, and I have these conversations with a lot of people that come into the room and talk to me. And they'll say, I need this, and I got to have this for my, you know, and we can't possibly move forward without this. And I said, yeah, well, I'd love to give you all that stuff, but I just don't have it in the budget. You know, there is no budget, really. I mean, the make-believe budget we're putting together, for $3.3 million, where I don't even know where the hell it is. But that's what we're trying to do. And so I hope I'm answering some of the questions that you've had.
One of my questions was not answered. May I?
What was it?
It was what is having to do with preempting programs? Yeah. What is the process for notifying programs?
I'm trying to notify them as early as possible.
Is there a process?
Yes, there is a process. I mean, Phil and the subscription people actually send out the notifications. But we go around and talk to people first. Right. Say, fund drive's coming up. What do you have? I don't want to do it. And so a lot of people tell us they don't want to be on first. And so we have to fill those holes. And then sometimes we go to other people and say, look, we're going to put an hour special show in here, so we're going to move you out. That's how it happens, well, basically.
Apparently some staff members have experienced not being notified. Like,
no, I think that's a different situation. I think what you're talking, can I talk to just,
all right,
just real quickly?
Sure.
I think you're talking about a different situation. We had a special on Ferguson that we ran. We did a special 2-hour thing on Ferguson, and it was scheduled to go for Hard Knock Radio. It was supposed to run on a Friday. Their connections in St. Louis and in Ferguson weren't ready and weren't in place. So then we moved it to Monday, and we quickly had to tell people on Monday about it. And so some people really got upset that we had to take their half an hour away. And we had a little ruckus about that, but you know, it worked out because we got them involved and said, hey, if you wanna, we're gonna take your, why don't you join in and work on the show? So that's what happened. But that's sometimes things like that happen when the news takes over and we have something special and we just gotta run with it. And it does ruffle some feathers, and I'm sorry about that.
A point of personal privilege. Go ahead. You've gotta use the microphone.
I'd just like to introduce you all to our CFO, Raul Salvador, who's just joined us. And probably the only day off he's had in many, many months. Thank you for coming, Raul. Thank you. Just observing, he says. Okay. Thank you.
All right. I have Lewis, Brian, Craig, Paula. That's who I, and Janet, but I'm holding Janet over to the side and having people who haven't spoken. I'll hold you to the side also. So, Lewis.
Thank you. I wanted to know how to proceed with the action of signing up to do the promos, each of us.
Okay, wait a minute. We're doing three questions. Okay, Brian.
So this is on the website, and I'm really excited to see the website getting serious thought and attention, because it hasn't for a long time. I want to sound a cautionary note. A lot of the back end of our website is highly functional. The automatic archiving of all our programs, the interfaces through which we post promos and calendar events and so forth, it's just not pretty on the front end. And my concern is that in the process of overhauling it, we not lose the data attached to the online archives we have, which go back to 2003. Some programs have been very diligent about uploading descriptions of each show into the system we have now, and that's what makes them search indexable. And a lot of the organizations that we've interviewed or done broadcasts around have set up permanent links to our archive pages. So we don't want to lose any of that in the process. And I sound this note only because I was involved with another broadcasting organization, Free Speech Radio News. As reporters, we counted on their website as a report archive of our portfolio pieces, the stories we had posted. And in the course of a web overhaul, they obliterated their old website and 6 years of archived reporter stories. And it wasn't something they intended to do when they set out to do that project, but it wasn't anything they talked about preserving in the process. So watch out.
No, not yet. Craig.
I actually have another question about the website, too. And this is, I guess, kind of a longer term, more general question. So programmers and programs have their own websites, their own Facebook pages. Sometimes those are great. There have been some discussions in recent years about trying to unify all those somehow under, one web domain or something like that. And I'm just wondering. I mean, this is really premature because there's a ton of work to do before then. But I'm just wondering what your general thoughts are about that down the road.
Lewis, on tomorrow, I'm sending out an email tomorrow to get additional voices to cut the promos because we're trying to get as many people that want to be in the promo loop because we want the voices of people at the radio station to go out. So far, we just have just a couple. I have me leading the pack, and then there's a few other people that just recorded some promos, and they all start running on Monday. So, but there's a note from me going out to everybody, like anybody who wants to come in and cut the promo, do it. And Dev's already on board to handle that. So I'm really enthusiastic about that because that's going to sound great just in itself, you know, that coming up, you know, when people are playing those promos. And I'm hoping that the live copy that I sent out on Friday to all the programmers really gets used. So I've asked everybody to at least hit it once a show And it would be great, and it would be really refreshing, all pun intended, to let that happen. And I think that would be great. Brian, the meeting we had with Yoshida and the website guys, one of the reasons the price went up a little bit was because everything you're talking about. But no, we have no intentions of losing any content at all. And they were very impressed with the automatic system that we already have. So there was a lot of work they took off the plate that they thought they were going to have to do because that system works so well. And they're just going to make sure that it everything flows very well. And even Memphis, we've had to work on a way to try to improve that so that Raul can get the kind of information he needs for audits and things like that. So we think we might have found a workaround for that at Raul as well. So that would be good. So you can find out about when, you know, people pledge but they don't really give us the money, then you find out you have to take that number out of the accrual accounting so that you can get the real numbers. So for the accountants and things like that. So little systems like that they're going to be working on as well. So yeah, there's a lot of stuff, but we're not going to lose anything. I mean, that's the last thing we want to do because the archives are so precious, and those guys really truly understand that project. And Craig, the webpage thing, the thing with me is I want to have a website that everybody wants to come back and be with us. You know, is that it's so impressive that they don't want to have their own individual webpage with us and they don't have to have their own website somewhere else. I think it would be terrific if we could set that up. So in the proposal, it's set up for dynamic individual web pages where people can do their own social networking and all that stuff. Of course, there'll be umbrella rules. You know, we don't want any pornography and we don't want any weird stuff going on. So there will be some checks and balances, of course, but that's what I'm hoping for, that people will all come back under the same umbrella with us.
Okay, I have Paula, and then I have Janet and Frank, unless there's any Joy. So I'll have Paula, Joy, and then Janet and Frank. Paula.
Oh, okay. I just was wondering what you and others here think of this kind of far-right idea of having a big, like, say, annual fundraising picnic where we can recruit some bands, including, like, these hip-hop people that were mentioned earlier, where, you know, people would pay, like, an admission to get in, and it would be a big booster for KPFA, and, you know, the different programmers might even have their own little table or something to, you know, advertise, because we're not advertising enough, and different people from different communities might like to know what might be relevant to them, but it's kind of hit and miss, and they don't always know that. Like, for example, in Guerneville, our little community in Guerneville, we have, like, Milo Karobi, who is in the Midnight Massive band, kind of like a reggae funk band. And he has organized in our community every 2 weeks with the farmers market. We've had Pride and Joy in there, the Pointless Sisters. We've had the Vocaler Strickler band. We've had a big band, you know, with the 30s music. And everybody out in the community was out there dancing away. Now, it was Pointless Sisters. Yeah, they're very good. They're, you know, kind of... Right, yeah. They're really excellent, and these, you know, and now this was organized, like, through the Rotary, you know, our Rotary Club, so people participating at the same time we have our Thursday Farmers Market, and where my granddaughter sells fruit and vegetables, too. You know, of course, nobody's paying to be there. It's, a promotion for the community. But I just thought, like, we should try to get, you know, because we don't have, I mean, we got the crafts fair, you know, but we could probably integrate several different communities, the hip-hop people and the young people, and we could really make something big, I think. Okay.
Joy.
Thank you, Quincy, for your report. First of all, I'm curious as to how... You were advised by staff that it would be easier to start a new system of having volunteers call people and ask them why they haven't voted rather than an old system of answering the phone that we've had for the last 30 years. So there's nothing to be done We don't have money, but we spend money on the answering service, and we haven't heard from you how much that costs. So please don't say we don't have the resources. Please don't. I won't tell you what to say. Please explain to me what the reasoning is for starting a new system and getting rid of the old, because I haven't heard from you how many people. And I know for a fact you've got a lot of people who said, I like answering the phones. I thought it was a good system, and what was wrong with it? So we haven't heard why it went away, number one. Number two, on the website, is there going to be any process for the community or the anyone else to be involved in the website? Or is it just going to be in-house, us people who are always doing it? So those are my two things.
All right. We got, let's do Janet and Frank, because I think that will wind it up. I could be wrong.
Okay. Mine is not a question, and I'm a little hesitant to talk about this, but I have over 15 years in the information technology field experience in corporate technology, and as a systems analyst and a quality assurance manager and other roles. So my hesitation is I'm kind of offering my skills to this website development project. I'm not sure if I have the bandwidth for it, but just wanted to put that out there.
Frank.
Mine is too not a question, but I've made like a short statement I'd like to read about the Block the Boat action and the thank you to Q. And, you know, online there were some people that have referred to me as a tool and some other stuff. And I don't know everyone who is aware of that, but I'd like to just read my little page if I have. It will only take 3 minutes or maybe a little bit less.
You got your time.
Okay, so thanks for giving me the minute to speak about that and straighten out the matter of the Block the Boat broadcast. I noticed there are many different stories and versions online or whatever the events that happened, and even discussions where people called me a tool and saying I made bad career moves, whatever that means, and people just curious of what actually happened. And first of all, I'll say I am nobody's tool. I did what I did on my own because I feel like the position I'm here comes with the responsibility to speak for and represent my communities and people when I can, and I feel this was a time to do that. And I'm not a big person that uses a lot of quotes, but I feel this is a good time for a quote for me. It comes from Leonard Peltier's book, Prison Writings, My Life is a Sundance. And it goes, speaking out is my first duty, my first obligation to myself and to my people. And to speak your mind and heart is the Indian way. And that is what I did, and that is what I'm doing right now. Next, I want to thank Q, who in the end, I feel, made a great decision and the right decision to go ahead with the full steam broadcast, 2 hours. I think it was a great day for KPFA, and as we all heard, it turned out to be a historic action with the turning back and the barely unloading of any of the cargo of the ship. As we heard earlier, KPFA was an instrumental part of making that happen, and I believe it was a good example of how KPFA and the activist community can work together. And I do understand there was some breakdown in the communication. I apologize, Q. I never meant for anything bad to happen, especially your first week. But at the LSB meeting, I thought I'd present this great idea about the LSB uniting behind a great cause, a cause I would argue that fueled our fund drive, and that was the bombardment of Gaza. Yet I was warned about KPFA standing for something or told that we were violently in agreement and to wait till Tuesday to decide. And that left me little time to make my plans. So on Saturday after the LSB meeting, I went straight to work contacting potential hosts and organizers, making connections, gathering details to formulate the broadcast. Sunday morning, I started sending out my emails to Q, to other parties involved at the station. I carbon copied Q on everything I did, laying out my plans, getting the ball rolling. I had 5 days left to plan for what I thought would be a historic broadcast. After about 6 emails in 2 days, I heard back from Q, thank you, and that's when we started talking that there was no permission for happening, and there was no permission given to go ahead yet. We had to check with the news department and still wanted to wait till Tuesday, like you said, in the LSB meeting to get the details with the department heads. We made arrangements to talk on the phone that day, which was Monday afternoon. Me and Q had a big heart-to-heart on the phone on Monday. You thought we might not have compelling radio, that we would just be speaking with activists and workers, and that it was more on the line of 2-minute updates a couple of times an hour. Can I please just have a little more to finish my thing? Anybody mind? Motion to give me another minute?
Maybe we'll let you do this. I don't think that this is the business of the LSB, but...
People in the LSB
I mean,
me
you can.
Cool
I don't know who did that. I don't know anything about that.
Well, I was keeping the names out of it, but I was
in any case, I'll let the body decide.
I got like three more paragraphs.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
It's just another.
Go page. Ahead. Go ahead.
So we talked for a minute, and it was more in the line of 2-minute updates, a couple times an hour, and. I pleaded and begged my case to let it go ahead, and finally our conversation ended. That is when the Block the Boats broadcast 2-hour special was canceled. And I sent out my original email. It was to 23 people, all of which were current LSB members or KPFA programmers who I had been discussing my plans with. From there, it actually went out into the broader community. The title of my email was Block the Boat Canceled by Management. I didn't know what else to say. But my first sentence did read, I guess it was never on, that was my mistake. It was only after that email went out that letters started to come in to me and to Q. I got a lot of backlash from certain people for doing that, but I seem to clearly remember getting hundreds of emails flooding my inbox from Safe KPFA's automated links, and I'm sure many general managers also had a lot of emails from Safe KPFA's automated links. And these emails were ones I couldn't even respond to when I took the time to read and went to respond. You're not allowed to respond to those emails to Safe KPFA server, so I tried to add my feedback but couldn't. I didn't hear anyone crying for me about my email being overloaded. Community feedback is a way the community is heard, and I don't believe it's a bad thing. Q, I really have faith in you as a manager. It did hurt me, however, a little bit that my words and ideas and plans didn't have the same consideration that the words of others had, such as Brian, Mitch, or Eileen. I was curious, why is that? And I just want to be given the same consideration as others around KPFA, and I think you'll find that's what a lot of us want. I got one more, a little bit more, I'll pass it up. But I would just say that I think your contacts alone are a goldmine for us, Q. Just I really have hopes for what you can do, and I'm glad to be here, you're here and work with you. You have 30 years in the business, and I totally see and respect that. And like I said, just your contacts alone, I feel, is this goldmine for us. But I do have 10 years at KPFA, and I've seen managers come and go, and one main reason I see for that is they get caught up on one side and become blind to the other. And I would urge you to be wary of that and not to fall into the same old cycle of KPFA managers. Let's have those staff meetings that you're about to work on after this, you know, you get started, where the other staff can speak to you besides the people that have easy access all day because they're paid there to be there during the regular business hours. Anyways, I'd like to thank you again for making the great choice to do that broadcast. I believe we were a big historic part of that, and thank you. And thank you all for letting me have my little speech.
Is this on? Okay. Paula, you can throw that picnic tomorrow. That would be terrific. you can call it the 65th anniversary picnic. I don't care. But yes, I would love that. I mean, you know, any kind of outside revenue we can get our hands on, it would be awesome. But also everything else you said about it, reaching out to all different communities and get other partnerships and with other people coming in to spread the word about KPFA. Because I am tired walking around with my hat on and people point to it and go, what station is that? I mean, it really bugs me. So, please, if you can put a committee together to do that. Is there a fundraising committee?
No. Can we say it again?
Okay. Joy. Joy.
No, he's going to answer my question.
I'm trying to answer it now, but you looking at your computer. You should be looking at me. Okay, so wait a minute. Now, you made it sound like I was the one that got rid of the phone room. You remember I came in after.
I know.
Okay, so my reasoning for this is that when I came in and I sat down with people and stuff, and a lot of people in this room, we've had conversations about you included, most of all. I also said to myself, I think that the human touch needs to be involved. And I said that at the last board meeting. So I started thinking in ways of how we could do some sort of hybrid thing with the phone room. We weren't ready to really put the phone room back in action this time around, but maybe we'll be ready by December. But I thought, let's still use the volunteers somewhere. That's why I just came up with the callback squad, which is something I've used in other cities. I used it in Houston, Texas, and I used it in New York, and it was successful for us. Not for fundraising, but just reaching out and talking to our listeners. That's the only reason why I employed it. I mean, if you look in my book, you'll see on chapter 12, there's this chapter in there about that, but reaching out to the customers and reaching out to the listeners and stuff. So that's the reason why I employed it. I still thought it was some way for us to start using the human touch again in a positive way. That's all.
I'm sorry, I just misunderstood what you're saying. So we weren't ready to do the fund drive because? The phone room because?
Because you just didn't have enough time to put it together.
From when? When did you decide to do the fund drive?
I would like to do the phone room again with computers and with headsets and do it the right way.
So that ain't happening in
December. It could happen. Depends on the fund drive.
All right.
Computers aren't that expensive.
Okay.
Computers are not expensive. Headsets are not expensive. And we just need somebody to train people to how to use the equipment. And if you give us a minute here with some software and stuff like that, we could put it together. We've been working on it.
Okay.
So, you know, we could, who knows, we might be able to make it. But
okay.
The timing right now, there's no way we could have done it. And that's all I'm trying to say about that. And Frank, let me just go back to what, you know, this whole thing again. The most important, did I miss something?
And the other part was how do you want to involve the community in the web page design? Like,
oh, I said that in the CPB, I don't know if you might have missed it in the reading thing. I said, so one of the things that we want to put together is a dynamic area so we can have interaction with the community. So there'd be more, let's call it a blog for now, but more or less a space where the community can come in and say things and we can, you know, go back and forth with them.
Now, how are you going to involve the community like the CPB in the website remake? You're going to get information for all the people inside KPFA, but what about the community? They may have some ideas on what they would like to see on our website and stuff like that.
I never thought about actually the community advisory board, but I can give them an invitation. I have no problem with that.
Okay.
I have no problem with that at all. And Frank, the best part about the whole thing, what happened with us is it turned out exactly the way I was hoping it would. We all sat together, put the program together, and it worked. And it was a KPFA production in the end, which is exactly what I've always was hoping for. So. Thank you.
Thanks again.
Are you also going to invite the LSB? And
no.
I don't know. I'm raising it. I mean, in terms of, it may be that there's a meeting where you want to have everybody there, but there may be a meeting where you want staff, where it's really a staff function. I'm just raising this as a.
Actually, the guys who wrote the proposal, the front group design guys, actually wanted to come and do their own kind of presentation to the board. I just told them it was too premature now. I said, so they have to look at it. And if they're interested in moving forward, I said, I'd be delighted to have them come in and talk to you guys. And also, because they do a lot of investigating, and I'm sure they're going to want to do that. I mean, when I used them before at the museum, and we also used them at salon.com, but when I used them at the museum, they lived there. They came in and just lived in the place and then came back with the work, and they want to do the same thing at KPFA. They'll talk to everyone because that's their intentions. And they understand how we work.
All right. I think that concludes the manager's report. Thank you very much, Quincy. We have a motion about that comes from the committee that's the higher pool committee. Is one of you prepared? Brian, are you going to read it? Paula, could you pass Brian a microphone, please?
Do you want to work on the committee's work first?
Sure.
So Joy, Margie, Barbara, and I are all on the committee. Ramses is the only person who's absent, who's on the committee. And this is the same committee that worked on the GM hire. We had posted both the GM and PD job at the same time, which was in 2013, with the expectation that as soon as we got a GM, we would put the PD pool together for that person to hire from. Unfortunately, the GM hire took considerably longer than I think any of us could have imagined. So we started reconvening to go over program director resumes pretty much the week after the announcement was made about Quincy's hire. We received 90 applications. We went through 90. Excuse me? Sorry, about 90. We went through first round interviews with 12 of the applicants. We narrowed the pool by consensus. We agreed on everyone we rejected after the first round to 6 for second round interviews. And then at that point, we were not able to reach a complete consensus on what to do. I think everyone on the committee agreed that we have some qualified candidates in the pool. Several people on the committee thought we should reject one or more of the other applicants that are currently in the pool. A majority did not agree with rejecting anyone in particular in the pool. So then we talked about whether we should repost the job or whether we should move forward and hand off the 6-person pool to Quincy. And we involved Quincy in our conversations as well. What we decided to do, and it was by a majority vote, a 4-to-1 vote, was to give the 6 people we have to Quincy and let him make the call. And I'll speak only for myself. It seemed like there were 2 downsides to reposting. One was that we need a program director, right? Delay is not in the station's favor. And the other was that we have been stringing some of our applicants along for so long that we might lose some more. And I say some more because we had some resumes that most of us scored very highly who were no longer interested in the job when we started setting up interviews. And we verbally heard some frustration from other candidates. So what we're asking is for the local station board to greenlight the 6-person pool so that Quincy can go ahead with the hire. The language of the motion is the KPFA-LSB ratifies the 6-person program director pool assembled by its hiring committee and authorizes KPFA's general manager to make a hire from that pool.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. On discussion, I see Donald Goldmacher, Janet.
No.
Okay. Don.
Brian, this is to you, so.
And
I guess the rest of the committee. So.
And do the time, please.
How many of the candidates that you highly prized evaporated because of the extended time frame? And the corollary of that is, are we looking at a less qualified set of candidates?
Use the mic.
I think, and other members of the committee can join me, there were 2 candidates. We each scored the candidates when we were reading their resumes and averaged our scores, and above a certain threshold, everybody automatically got an interview. There were 2 people who scored well enough that they would have automatically gotten an interview who were no longer interested when we approached them. In terms of the overall quality of the pool, our program director pool was always much stronger than our general manager pool. In fact, every general manager candidate who came in for interviews at KPFA had initially applied for the program director position, and when we were confronted with a weak general manager pool, we encouraged people who seemed to be qualified for both to apply for general manager. That's how we wound up with Quincy. Many of the people who interviewed for general manager are still in the program director pool.
It looks like Joy wanted to say something, and then Barbara, and then I'll go to Janet.
So,
and I'm doing that because they're members of the committee.
Is this on? Oh, yeah.
Yep.
So to answer you, I think we did have a poor quality pool, but there were other factors too, and I disagree with Brian strongly on their motives on going ahead. or and not going back. I think that we had advertised so long ago. I think that at the time we advertised, there was no general manager. I think there's a greater interest generated in KPFA in this last year and 3 months since we advertised. And I failed to get an agreement on paper from people of what consensus meant. So we had a disagreeing opinion of what consensus meant. And so in the end, it was majority rule, which I thought was unfair, and that's why I was insisting on that in the beginning as a process, because I didn't feel that it was fair to have just majority rule, because the power is in the majority, and the majority gets their way without, and I just don't think it was a fair process. But we had a low quality pool because of the time elapsed, for one thing. And also, there's a different consideration for general manager than for program director, and unfortunately, I don't think that distinction came out in our process. So I think as we go forward, I would just like to say, as a committee member, I do appreciate the work with all of my committee members, but I hope the process stays the same from now forward, in that we had the general manager candidates brought before the people of KPFA, and I'm hoping the program director candidates are subjected to the same process. I think that's more important, even with program director than general manager.
Okay. Barbara, as a committee member, and then Janet, Paula, David, Craig.
I just wanted to give a couple more facts about the two people that declined. One had gotten another job, and the other had gone into a major illness. So I don't think there was a lot of loss. People did send emails checking in every once in a while, you know, how's the process going, I'm still interested. And I respect Joy's opinions, but many of them I don't agree with. So I think there really was a different evaluation of the situation by the members of the committee.
Okay, Janet.
Yeah, programming is such a controversial matter across the board in the KPFA community. And participating in the hiring of a program director is one of the few duties, responsibilities assigned to the LSB by the bylaws. To basically bypass the entire LSB, even though the bylaws do say that the LSB can assign this to a subcommittee. But bypassing the entire LSB in terms of, I believe it does, but maybe, I don't know. In any case, I don't think it's wise to bypass the entire LSB, especially in terms of looking at the candidates. And so I have a substitute motion. And that is, prior to approving the 6-minute program director pool assembled by its hiring committee, and prior to authorizing KPFA's general manager to make a hire from that pool, the entire KPFA LSB is to be given the opportunity to review the resumes of these 6 program director candidates and discuss them in executive session.
Is there a second?
I
seconded. Discussion? Okay, we'll have a vote on this. And you have discussion, or are we going to go to a vote?
Yeah. I just want to say, while I don't think this is a bad process in general, I think we are in a particularly difficult situation, because we know from talking to Quincy that he desperately needs a program director. I think we needed a program director. And as I pointed out in the several of us, I think, pointed out in discussions in the committee, every hire at KPFA has a six-month probationary period. So we have an opportunity to change our minds if we choose to do so. I'm uncomfortable with the time delay that would be created by Janet's motion.
What do you mean we have six months? I don't get that.
Frank, can I have the mic?
It's Quincy's decision.
Okay.
You're right.
I think that we are just factually not bypassing our responsibility. We set up a committee. And but in any case, so I see David had wanted to speak on this, and Joy, had you wanted to speak also? Okay, David and Frank.
I like the idea of the LSB considering the qualifications of the candidates that have been preselected by the pool that's been preselected by the subcommittee, and. I don't think it's a very time-consuming or delaying process. I mean, how much time would it take, you know, to bring it up at a meeting, at a regular meeting of the LSB, to consider the qualifications of the applicants and to express the opinions of the members of the LSB on whether or not they would make a good program director? So I support that substitute motion.
I just wanted to point out that there is in the bylaws the requirement that the LSB evaluate the program director annually. So the first item in the bylaws describes how the LSB makes these selections. In other words, they appoint a committee to do it. And we have been acting as committee carrying out the review of all the applicants and so on. But the second item in the bylaws is that the program director is evaluated by the LSB annually. So we aren't cut out of this process at all.
Did you want to, were you on a list?
Yeah. I was on there, I thought, too.
Okay. Frank.
Anyways, I would support Janet's motion. I feel like if some people say that they felt it was fair, some people say they felt it wasn't, there's majority rule, majority doesn't rule, whatever. I feel like it's worthy of bringing to the whole LSB, you know, who are we going to hire? You know, who's going to be our program director? Probation period, 6 months, process of eliminating somebody out of position once you get them in. It's just, if we could all take a look and see what the actual applicants are, check it out, and go over it with the rest of the board. I don't see why not. So I would be voting for that motion to check it out, see what's happening, and to have my little voice be heard. It'd be great. Thank you.
Well, I just want to emphasize, we're not doing the hiring. The board is not doing the hiring. The general manager is doing the hiring. And the general manager will hire, according to the committee's proposal, from the six candidates. I'm having a hard time trying to figure out what the logical consequence of this, of Janet's substitute motion is. So if we all get the six resumes, we all review the resumes, then we start arguing, well, I like this person, some people like that person. Then do we vote on each person and decide who of these six people will be passed on to the general manager? I mean, we can't do it that way. We appointed a committee to do this thinking and studying for us. And that's the purpose of the committee. And where is it going to stop? So I want to speak against Janet's motion. I mean, I understand her intent there, but I think procedurally, if we want to get this done, the job of the committee was to come up with applicants. They've done that. I'm assuming they're comfortable with everybody who they screened. To me, the question is, do we believe that it's imperative to hire a program director as soon as possible, or can we wait and relist it and try to attract more people? I mean, that's the key, and that would be the decision we would have to make. And that's goes back to, you know, a more general question. Anyway, I want to speak against Janet's motion.
Don, had you had your hand up?
I would merely point out, I think when the process applied to hiring a general manager, the committee brought its report to the LSB. It was approved, and then a general manager was hired. The LSB did not go into executive session reviewing all the resumes. So why suddenly this? What is this supposed to accomplish? If we either trust the members who are on the committee who are from this board to have chosen the most appropriate candidates for this position, and there is no point in delaying an extra month until we have our October meeting when the station has needs. So I would vote against this as well.
All right, I have Frank, Janet, Cynthia, Barbara.
So I would just point out that one person that was on the committee just said that they felt the process wasn't quite fair, and that is what we're hearing today. If there's some doubt that it wasn't quite fair, maybe we could take a look. Is that going to hurt? We've been so long without it. Quincy, I'm sure, needs it. We can't get our budget on time. We could take the time, if we're going to hire somebody, not hire somebody, but evaluate these people to send them to be hired. One of them will be hired. I don't think it's going to hurt to just review that. And Craig, maybe we will have to talk amongst ourselves and decide who we feel should go on and who shouldn't. I think that's part of a process. If we did assemble a committee and one person on that committee feels that it wasn't quite fair, so.
I'm calling on Paula first because she hasn't spoken.
That's not the same issue.
Well, actually, wasn't specifically about the motion, but I was just curious how much have we budgeted for this program director, or how this fits into our budget when we have no local cash flow? I just wanted to have that answered.
Well, good luck. Janet.
No. The answer is yes, but we don't
have we don't have the budget, but we have had a understanding that we were hiring a program director, so it must be in the budget. Janet.
Yeah, so the programming is not necessarily more important than a general manager or than the duties of a general manager, but there's such controversy within the KPFA community about programming. Rather than having four people decide what resumes get passed on to the general manager, why not share those resumes with the entire local station board? But I just want to point out that for the ED hire process, there's a PNB personnel committee that has been taking applications. But the entire PNB wants to be able to see all the resumes. So why can't we do that here?
Who said that?
David.
David did.
God David calls the question. I don't know if you were called on. Okay, well then you're not, then you'll go down on the list. Frank.
No, I already went.
Oh, Cynthia.
Well, maybe I'm going to reiterate. What is it?
You got it turned on?
But same thing. It's just a matter of information. Those of us who are interested can have a very quick meeting. I certainly want Quincy to have help in this, our imaginary budget, also to look at where that money is coming from. But I do think, since we're all charged with fiduciary responsibility, those of us on this board need to find out. I was pleasantly surprised when I've been listening to some of the other Pacifica stations that they seem to have grown in more anti-imperialist, more democracy-like. And I think that it's really important that we at least know who is our program director is going to be, and not just the people on that committee. Yes, we all had an opportunity to volunteer for that, but you know, we do trust them. But I think it's just a matter of knowing.
Barbara.
I call the question.
All right, the question's been called. All in favor of calling the question, please.
Roll call, please. Can we?
We can have a roll call vote. All in favor of calling the question? Okay. All in favor of calling the question, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Okay. Now, on the substance, Janet has asked for a roll call. All in favor of Janet's substitute motion.
He has to call it.
Yes. Okay. That's what I just said.
But it didn't sound like it.
Do you want to chair this, babe?
No, no. Okay. Don't fight.
Prior to approving the six-person program director pool assembled by its hiring committee and prior to authorizing KPFA's general manager to make a hire from that pool, the entire KPFA LSB is to be given the opportunity to review the resumes of these six program director candidates and discuss them in executive session.
Okay. Alderson, I vote no. Bernstein?
No.
Bernstein, no. Tiekert? Edwards Tiekert?
No.
Edwards Tiekert, no. Urkola?
No.
Urkola, no. Fuente is not here. Gann's not here. Goldmacher?
No.
Goldmacher, no. Gowen, not here. Hernandez?
No.
Hernandez, no. Johnson?
Yes.
Johnson, yes. Coburn?
Yes.
Coburn, yes. Kurzweil, not here. Landau, not here. Moore?
Yes.
Moore, yes. Morgan, not here. Pritchett, not here. Sawyer?
No.
Sawyer, no. Sterling?
Yes.
Sterling, yes. Teo Nichols, not here. Travis?
No.
Travis, no. Welsh?
Yes.
Welsh, yes. Whipperman?
No.
Whipperman, no. White, not here. Wilkinson?
No.
Wilkinson, no. Withers?
No.
Withers, no. So that's 11 no, 5 yes.
Back to the main motion, which I will read again. The KPFA LSB ratifies the six-person program director pool assembled by its hiring committee and authorizes KPFA's general manager to make a hire from that pool. On discussion, do we have more discussion? If you want to make a motion to vote, raise your hand and do that.
I call the question.
Okay, the question's been called. All those in favor of calling the question, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carries. All right.
Can we have a roll call?
We'll have a roll call on this also. I just read it. I'll read it again. The KPFA LSB ratifies the six-person program director pool assembled by its hiring committee and authorizes KPFA's general manager to make a hire from that pool.
Okay, Alderson, I vote yes. Bernstein?
Yes.
Bernstein, yes. Edwards Tiekert?
Yes.
Edwards Tiekert, yes. Urkola?
Yes.
Urkola, yes. Fuente is not here. Gans, not here. Goldmacher?
Yes.
Goldmacher, yes. Gowen, not here. Hernandez?
Yes.
Hernandez, yes. Johnson?
No.
Johnson, no. Coburn?
No.
Coburn, no. Kurzweil, not here. Landau, not here. Moore?
No.
Moore, no. Morgan, not here. Pritchett, not here. Sawyer?
Yes.
Sawyer, yes. Sterling?
No.
Sterling, no. Teo Nichols, not here. Travis?
Yes.
Travis, yes. Welsh? I'm sorry? Welsh, no. Whipperman?
Yes.
Whipperman, yes. White, not here. Wilkinson?
Yes.
Wilkinson, yes. Withers?
Yes.
Withers, yes, so that's 11 yes, 5 no.
We have on our agenda now a break. Wait a minute, yes. Microphone, it's right by your hand.
Would you please announce the results of the
he
vote?
He did. It's the vote is 11.
But you're the chair.
Oh, well, the secretary is also official. But it's 11 yes, 5 no. Okay. So it passes. All right. So we're having a break. The break will last 10 minutes. It is now 12:55. At 5 after 1, we will reconvene.